I'm part of a little group on Facebook, some other pastors, and some guy posted on there and said, who's titling their message with 2020 vision? And within minutes, I mean, it was just like one after another, all these guys, everybody said, yep, gonna do it. And some guy recommended doing, rather than 2020 vision, he was gonna call it the year after 2019 and before 2021. Because he thought that had kind of a catchy phrase to it, and he thought maybe get more people to be interested. But I named my 2020 vision. Not going to stray from it. That's what I was hearing in the spirit, so I went with that. But 2020 vision. As we get started this morning, I would first want to start out by saying I do not believe that I currently hold the office of a prophet. Okay? And I am going to talk to you about prophecies and about things that are spoken to the body of Christ, but I don't believe I hold that office of a prophet in the body of Christ. Okay, I see very clearly in the Word of God that there is a gift of prophecy that has been given to every believer, that through the Holy Spirit that we can and do oftentimes speak into people's lives through prophetic unctions. But there's also what is called the office of a prophet, and that would be part of the fivefold ministry. Okay, the pastor, prophet, apostle, okay, it's part of that. And it is a gift to the body of Christ. It is something that God sets in a body to be able to help steer and to kind of point in that direction, okay, that God wants for the church to go. Now, I've operated many times in the gift of prophecy. It's just something as a pastor, you end up doing that. You speak into people's lives. You speak that message from God that edifies and encourages, that exhorts and builds up the body of Christ. But someone who holds that literal office of a prophet will know and speak the future into the lives of God's people, okay? And they will have a very specific message to a very specific person or group of people that will also include a manifestation of God's signs, wonders, and miracles to back up that message. Okay, if somebody comes to you and tells you that they are a prophet of God and begin to speak into your life, you can literally say, prove it. Right. Okay? And I know people, I know guys that have an office of a prophet, and if you said that to them, they are not offended. They will speak something into your life just like Jesus did the woman at the well. Okay? And, you know, she knew right away this man is more than just a man. Okay? This man has some gifting. Okay, well, if you think about guys in the Bible, we have some examples like Elijah. Okay, he was a great prophet. He spoke to the prophets of Baal, as they were called. Okay, and the fire came down from heaven and it licked up the water that they had poured on the sacrifice. You guys kind of remember that story? John the Baptist had a very specific message that he was preparing the way for the Lord. He said, I am not he, but you know, I'm preparing the way for the Lord. He had a very specific message. Isaiah prophesied of the coming Messiah, okay, and he gave such details that even today we are looking back in Isaiah to see what it looks like, even the second coming of Christ, and some of those things came from the messages of Isaiah. Now, I am not speaking to you this morning from the office of a prophet, but I am sharing to you from the heart of a pastor. Okay, and I believe part of my role and what God has called me to is as someone that speaks to and that shepherds and guides God's people, that it's important for me to pay attention to the prophets. Okay, it's important for me to pay attention to what God is speaking to the body of Christ through the prophetic unction. Okay, to the body of Christ as a whole. And then this morning, I'm sharing some of that with you. And so that's part of what you will see and hear. In the last 25 years that I've been paying attention to prophecy, there have been many, many, many prophetic words given to the church as a whole, to the body of Christ. Okay, in our day and age, it's even easier for that message to get out because of internet, right? And we're connected worldwide with people that we never would have even seen or maybe even heard of before, but now we're connected more worldwide as a church than ever before. That message from someone who truly hears from God can be put forth, and other believers all over the world can see that almost instantaneously. But over the last year, even with all the prophecies that have come forth, over the last year, the focus has shifted to be not just about the future of the body of Christ, but much more specifically, what is coming in this year, in 2020. Okay, very specifically in this year in particular, what will happen in 2020. It's going to be a very, very special year for the Christian believer. Okay, the word that is coming forth, and I'll share that with you. In the natural, as you hear someone talk about or they refer to 2020, what's one of the first things that come to mind? Vision, right? It has to do with your eyes, right? Okay, that's what usually comes to mind. If someone says that they have 20/20 vision, okay, they're said to have perfect vision, or at least what is considered to be normal vision. You know, the normal average person, the way that eyes were created by God, 20/20 vision is good vision. Now, no glasses, no contacts, none of that stuff. According to a glossary of eye and vision conditions, okay, 20/20 vision is a term used to express normal visual acuity, okay, or the clarity and sharpness of a vision measured at a distance of 20 feet. I did not know that. 20/20 vision means that if you have two people standing 20 feet from the same eye chart, they'll both be able to read down to the same level. 20/20 vision as normal vision. Okay, if you have, say, 20/100 vision, it means that you must be as close as 20 feet to see what a person with normal vision could see at 100 feet. Okay, does that make sense? You kind of follow me so far? Okay, 20/20 vision means I could stand right next to somebody. We both have 20/20 vision. We could read the chart. If I had 20/100 vision, that person would be able to see the big letter E on the top from 100 feet away, but I would have to go up to 20 feet to be able to see that same thing. Does that make sense? 20/20 or 20/100. Now, many people today wear glasses, they wear contacts, and the goal of those glasses and contacts is to bring your vision up to 20/20, right? It's to give you normal vision so that the things in the distance that were fuzzy or unclear will now be in focus, okay? That is a great summary of the word from the Lord for the body of Christ for this year. Okay, and I'll say it again here in a minute, but over the last year or so, as I hear or read the prophetic words that trusted prophets are putting out, there's Prophetic Insight, there's Charisma Magazine, there's other places, and I hear what people are saying that I trust as in the prophetic world, men and women of God. They proclaim what they see is coming in this year, in 2020, and the message is almost all the same. It has this same feel to it. And that is that the things of God that have been fuzzy or unclear will come into focus in 2020. Okay, the things of God that have been fuzzy or unclear will come into focus in 2020. The things that we in the body of Christ have been waiting for are going to start coming to pass. Okay, we've been anticipating, hoping for this or praying for this. Our prayers that we've been praying are going to start coming to pass much quicker. Okay, much more in timeliness that not that we're forcing God's hand, but we will be prompted to pray and we'll see that answer happen. We'll begin to see things happen in a quicker response time. A true divine revelation in the Word of God will manifest in a little bit of simple faith, okay, applied to our belief in receiving those promises from God. A little bit of faith, and we're going to begin seeing miraculous results. Things that we thought, you know, were too big to even pray for. Okay, the word is pray for it, because this is the time, 2020, this year, is the time and the season to begin praying for those things that we never thought would happen. You have a loved one that you think will never come to Christ, pray for him this year. Okay, you have things in your needs and your family or places you want to go with God spiritually, pray for it this year, and you'll see those things happening. I don't know, I've heard said, and I remember even I've said it too, that as a young believer, it seemed like I could just pray things and ask God, and man, it just snap. It was like God was just showing me how much he loved me, and it seemed so much easier to walk in the Spirit because it seemed like spiritually I was just in tune with God. I knew things and people in my life and things were happening. And so it was like all these things were manifesting so often and so fast that it was, how could I not go on with God? How could I not be encouraged in my faith? How could we not want to just keep stepping forward to see what else God was going to do in our life? That's an exciting time in your life. Okay, and I know that I've shared before, I led a gal to Christ in South Dakota when I was there working at a place and began sharing Christ, and she began seeing something different in my life and knew there's something different about this guy. And I would speak things into her life, not realizing that it was going to connect so deeply with her. And she finally came and said, "How do you know God is real?" And I said, "I just know. I know in my knower." And of course, that's the lame answer, but that was what I gave her. And I said, "Here's what you do. You go and ask God. 3 days in a row, you go and ask God if he is real. Tell him to show himself. Ask him to, and I know without a doubt he will reveal himself to you." I got that in my spirit. I spoke it to her. Okay, she came back a few days later and said, "Gary, you will not believe what happened." And she began telling me about asking God to show himself, and then the car that slid right up to her door and the miracle things that had happened in her life. And she came to me and said, "I believe. I want to know this Jesus that you know." Okay, and we went and was able to share with her, and she came to Christ that very night. Okay, now this morning I want to share some things from what God has been speaking corporately to the body of Christ. The kingdom of God, the word for the kingdom is that the power of God will manifest for the believers in 2020 more than most have ever seen. Okay, and so that knowing that it's a time that we can pray for things, pray big. Okay, right? Pray for things that are bigger than what you could see happening. If you can envision it, you know, that, oh yeah, I can see that happening, pray bigger than that. Pray for things that are impossible aside from the power of God manifesting. This morning, I want to share a few of the insights of what I believe some of those and what the body believes, the prophetic world out there believes that some of those manifestations are going to look like in your life in 2020. Number one, if you're writing them down, I'll give you three, and then I want to close with a realignment or something that God is showing to finish it up. Number one, 2020 will be your year of divine favor and justice. Okay, divine justice and favor, however you want to say it. Okay, 2020 will be your year of divine justice and favor. Okay, now, I believe the Lord is going to demonstrate to you and through you what his power and divine justice looks like. Okay, now what does a divine justice look like? Well, you have to know what injustice looks like. Okay, so has the body of Christ suffered any injustices in the last decade or however long? Okay, there are many, many, many injustices that have taken place against the people of God. One of the biggest injustices that many people have been facing is a strong opposition to the promises of God being released in your life. I know they're available. You guys know, I teach it all the time. Man, God's promises, it's available. We just have to receive it. But there's been a strong opposition to us receiving of those things. Okay, this has been going on for a long time, and that resistance seems to have grown greatly over the last recent years. But 2020 is a time for that resistance to end. Okay, it's a time when it will be broken. Okay, the things that have been held back are being released. Okay, like imagine floodgates opening up kind of thing. That is, it's been there, it's been held back and resisted, but all of a sudden, the gates are coming open. Okay, the promises of God that have been released, and this year will be that year that we will see and appropriate the goodness of God. Okay, we will anticipate and receive and see experiencing that favor of God. And the promises of God and his word will be more manifesting in our daily life. Okay, more than last year, more than any time for most of us. Okay, this is going to be a year when the Lord lifts the shame off of his people. Okay, there's a heavy blanket of shame that has been causing believers to feel insecure about their faith. Okay, kind of making them feel like being a Christian is a bad thing. okay? Or it's not okay to be a Christian, not okay to share your faith, that shame will be lifted off. Okay, you'll be more inclined to share Christ with your friends, okay, your family, your coworkers. Okay, I see a divine boldness on the Christians where they're willing to stand up with Christ. And as we do, we're going to see even more of God's miraculous power manifest. Okay, you know what really influenced me as a young believer was the guy that led me to Christ. I believe he is a prophet. He spoke things and I saw it time after time come to pass. And as he spoke to me, he also walked with a divine authority. There was something different, something unique. Okay, but those signs and wonders were evident in his life. Okay, and that is coming in the body of Christ, where we are able to see and experience that. Now, I'm not saying that he was in a lot of ways, I'd say he is a prophet, but there's things about him that in his everyday life, he was just like you and me. He worked a job and did his life and lived, okay? But he also had that authority that came from God and spoke with that, and you saw things happening in and through his life. The guy could speak stuff. He was in the truck with me when the truck is tipping over sideways. We get up onto two wheels. He was the guy sitting next to me just saying, Jesus, 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 as that truck came back down. Okay, and that those kind of things happened in our life all the time when we hung out together. I believe that this is a year when people will be saved. Okay, miracles are going to happen. People are going to turn from sin, and God is going to be glorified. Okay, isn't that His goal? Doesn't God want the glory? God wants to be glorified. And if Christians are dumbed down, held back, resisting, okay, and we're living in the world is coming against us, making us look foolish, is God getting all the glory? God is getting glory all the time, but God will get more glory as we step in and in the gifts of God, the manifestations begin happening and flowing even in our own country. The shame and the pain and the heartache, the discouragement that believers have been suffering is going to be replaced with healing, with breakthrough, with victory, with restoration. It's taken a while, but we finally get to our first scripture today. In Psalms 34, I want to show you where this is coming from. Psalm 34, verse 3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not or no longer ashamed." Okay, now is the time when we will seek the Lord simply on the authority of His word, and He will answer and deliver us from our fears. We will look to Him and be lightened or radiant. Okay, in our faces will never again blush with shame or confusion. The Christian believer does not have to be ashamed of being a Christian believer. Okay, that is breaking right now in our society, in our world. It has gotten so that Christianity has been dumbed down, you're made fun of, you're poked at. You know, media has done a good job of making it so that Christians don't want to share their faith. It's made it so that in workplaces and all over the world, in every arena, that people are just hesitating a little bit. Hey, I recently and saw a statistic I really didn't like. I had it on the screen before the service. I was watching that stuff that was scrolling. But the Barna Research Group did a study on millennials. And almost half, it was 47% of practicing Christian millennials think that evangelism is wrong, that you should not share your faith. You might impose something on them. They talked about the number of people in a person's life from like seniors and elderly folks when they grew up and in their life, probably, you know, maybe one or two of the people that they associate with or know are of a different faith or not a Christian sort of thing. But when it got younger and younger, the youngest of believers today, almost 20 to 30% of their people they hang around are of a different faith. Baha'i, Muslim, Islam, just different faiths that are part of that. And so sharing their faith, they thought it's okay for them because they have faith in their God and I have faith in my God. And so that prompting of sharing Christ with them was not as strong or not there. Okay, that is being broken. Okay, where the younger generation this year will begin to feel more confident about sharing faith, more confident about evangelism, and see that need for sharing Jesus with people. How many ways are there to heaven? Come on, body. How many ways? And His name is Jesus, right? There's only one way. There's one truth. It's Jesus. You know, I believe now is the time when we will seek the Lord on the authority of His Word, and He is going to deliver us from our fears. Isaiah put it like this as he spoke about what was coming in this year. Isaiah 61, verse 6 through 9. He said, "But you shall be named the priests of the Lord, and men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast yourselves. For your shame that you've suffered, you shall have a double portion of God's goodness." Okay, I'm putting that so you understand it. "For confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in the land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed," speaking about you this year, "their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. And all that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed." Okay, people will speak of you as the minister of our God, and you will eat the wealth of the Gentiles, the wealth of the nation. Anybody ever heard that scripture, "The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just"? Okay? This is a year to partake of that. Instead of your former shame, you will have a double portion of God's favor. Okay? When people were looking at you saying, "They're a Christian, but their life isn't any different than mine," people will begin to look at you and see a double portion of God's favor and say, "There's something special about that person. There's something unique about them." Instead of humiliation, you're going to shout for joy over what you're receiving from the Lord. Scripture points that everlasting joy will be yours. You know, God is going to faithfully reward you, and you and your offspring are going to be known, because all who see you will recognize the prosperity of the Lord upon you and are going to acknowledge you as the one that the Lord has blessed. There's something special about that person. About you. You know, as the divine justice of God is released in our nation, you're going to see people's hearts and their attitudes start changing. Okay, from thinking that there's something wrong with being a Christian to start thinking that there's something supernatural, there's something special, there's something I like, something I want about what's going on in this person's life. You know, I believe that not only is the Lord going to bring forth His divine justice into our lives, but He's going to bring breakthrough, not just for you, but He's going to bring breakthrough through you. Okay, you're going to sense His Spirit inside you stirring up an attitude that says, "I will not settle for anything less than what God has promised to me." Okay? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Through 4, he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you simply through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, so that by these you might be partaker of the divine nature." Okay, God is the one that through His divine grace, He has determined to give you great and precious promises so that you can partake of the good stuff. Okay, that's the Gary Gilbert version of that. Okay, God has blessed you with great and precious promises so that you can partake of the good stuff. God loves you. He wants to bless you and wants your life to be blessed so that you shine. Okay, taking some of that from the unbelieving and poured into your life so that your life is abundant. Okay, something inside you is going to rise up and say, "I want what God has given me." Okay? And that is part of receiving, is knowing God's promises and opening yourself up to receive of those promises. Okay, that's a long number one. The other ones aren't so long. Number two, the second thing you're going to see in 2020 is that your inheritance is now. Okay, stop waiting to inherit something when you get into the by and by. Stop waiting for heaven before life gets good. Start living in the good life now that God has blessed you with. The world around us has sought to suppress and discourage those that are receiving an inheritance from the Lord. But this will be the time, this will be the year, when you see the people of God actually receiving and living out their inheritance. It's okay to be blessed. You know, we had on Tuesday night, we did our New Year's Eve candlelight, and we went around and everybody shared testimonies, and it was unbelievable the things that God has been doing in people's lives. Many of them were, God has blessed them prosperity with good life. God has blessed them, and they're being a blessing to other people. That's okay. It's good. God wants to bless you so you can bless other people. You know, the people of God are going to begin to see that the inheritance that we have from God is not something that we have to earn, but it's something that is obtained by simple faith in God and His promises. We trust that Jesus Christ went to the cross to give me X, Y, Z. You fill in the blank. Actually, the blanks are filled in the Bible. You just read what's in there. Okay, Galatians chapter 3, verse 18 says, "For if the inheritance be of the law," in other words, if you have to work for it, it's not it. "For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of a promise, but God gave it to the father of faith, Abraham, by promise." Okay, it was God blessing Abraham. Abraham was blessed because he trusted God to bless him, not because he performed for God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 through 14 says, "In whom," or in Jesus also, "we have obtained," past tense, "obtained already an inheritance." Okay, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works things, all things, after the counsel of His own will. Also that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13 says, "In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." The Holy Spirit has been given to you as an earnest. Okay, anybody ever bought a house before? Okay, you got to put what down? Earnest money. You put your pledge down saying, "I am going to buy this house. I am not taking that back." You don't get that money back very often. Okay, you put it down and it stays down. That's going towards that house. Okay, it's like you are set to inherit a gazillion dollars, and the Lord gives you $1 trillion as a down payment, as an earnest, saying you'll get the rest when you get here, but here's $1 trillion for now. Okay, the Holy Spirit, is that enough to do something with? Could you live on $1 trillion for a little bit? Okay. He's going to give you a gazillion, but He's already given you $1 trillion to do something with now. Okay, that's the earnest of His Holy Spirit. That's that down payment He gave us for this time that we live in right now in 2020. Number three, told you they get shorter. Number three, the third thing that you're going to see this year is that the seeds of the Word of God in your life are about to come to life. They're about to come alive. The seeds of the Word of God in your life are about to come alive. Whether they are the promises that you see in the Scripture, okay, which, another bunny trail for you, but if you don't know what the promises of God are, you look them up, start figuring it out. My Bible, in a lot of places, I use blue over the years for the promises of God. I don't know where that color came from, but just blue, if it's underlined in blue or it's highlighted in blue, that means it's a promise from God to me. And I can just grab that every time I read it. I see that's what God has promised to me. And God doesn't go back on His word. Therefore, I have that promise. Okay, get those promises in you. If it's a promise that you see in the scripture, or it's a word that's been spoken to you by God, you've got something that's been stirring inside for years, or maybe it's recent even, that God has given unto you. If it's a promise that God or someone has spoken to you on behalf of God, those seeds have been lying dormant, but 2020 is said to be the year when they will sprout. Okay, the year when those things will begin to grow and to come to pass. Okay, this should be an encouragement for you to go forth. Okay, do something with what God has given you. Because when God speaks something, it goes forth and it does not return unto Him void. Okay, you remember Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11, it says that as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, okay, that's King James, it doesn't go back, okay, but it waters the earth and it maketh it bring forth and bud so that it may give more seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, but it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. That's God's word to you. Amen. That's highlighted in blue in my Bible right there. What God says comes to pass. Okay, this is a time to move forward with the words that have been spoken to you by God. Like when God said in the beginning, He said, let there be light. Okay, that happened, correct? Does God have to get up every day and say it again? No. God said it and it came to pass. It was put into motion and it continues day after day after day. That is God's word. Okay, He doesn't have to get up every morning and speak it again. He put it in motion and that's that. Okay, when God speaks, there is power in His words to bring forth what He promises. However, it is our responsibility to take the words and to go forth and to see them accomplished. Okay? I want to get off on that. When God speaks, there is power in His words. James 1:22 says to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Okay, the prophetic seeds, the words spoken to you that have been dormant in your life are about to come to life. Okay, this is your season to go forth. Don't sit around and do nothing. Go forth and use the talents that God has given you. Use those abilities that God has given you. This is your time to be a doer of the Word of God. Start living out that destiny that God has spoken over your life. I've been saying and saying, God has called some of you to ministry and you're laying dormant. Okay? But putting it bluntly, whatever that word is. Okay? God wants them to do some things in and through your life. There's people that aren't here tonight that I know, one in particular, that's been coming to this church that is called the pastor. He's got the heart. Okay, there are people that are called, but they're letting the world pull them in directions and do other things. Now is the time to go forth with what you know in your heart. You were created for this time, such a time as this, to do the things that God has placed on your heart to do. Okay, don't deceive yourself. Don't try to talk yourself out of it. Okay, the promises that God has given you, the things that God has spoken to you, go forth. Give your life over the one that has called your life. Okay, don't become satisfied just watching somebody else do what they were called to do. I have never been as satisfied in my life as I have been in ministry. Never. It's got tough times. It really comes with heartache and hurt and lack sometimes and other things that have happened. Okay, but I've never known so fully that I'm walking in what God has called me to do. Okay? But don't be satisfied with me walking in what God has called me to do. Find and seek what God has called you to do. If you don't know for sure, ask Him. Hey, like last week I said, invite Jesus in. If you got questions, you got struggles, invite Jesus into that decision-making process and you'll begin to see things more clearly. Okay, I believe God has given us everything that we need. The scripture says that, right? That's a promise, highlighted in blue in my Bible. God has given you great and precious promises. Okay, He's given you everything that you need that pertains unto life and godliness. Those are, you know, partial quote to those scriptures, but that's what God is speaking to us. Last thing I want to share this morning, we got to close this out. I want to share with you a little bit about the realignment that is coming in our world in this new decade. Okay, you know, this is going beyond 2020 a little bit, but it's this new decade. Something changed. Okay, in the people, the spiritual world, the people that I believe are accurate and on track are saying something happened. There's a shift taking place, and it began 5 days ago. In the 2020s, we're going to see a shift not only in the church, okay, but also in the world at large as far as unity and division. Okay, you know, those are funny words to put in the same sentence. Okay, but here's what I see and what Christian leaders throughout the country are saying is that there will be a separation among people. Okay, the polarity, it's kind of my own word or something I've said, but you'll see that polarity happen even more. But you know what happens when there's polarity and things go? They get pretty tight on the ends. Okay, and that's the unity. Separation that leads to unity. Okay, in both in the body of Christ, in our nation as a whole. Okay, you're seeing, and I'm cutting out all the political stuff. I'm saving you that this morning. There's a lot on the realignment that's happened politically right now. You're seeing this happening. Okay, and people are starting to say this is too extreme and they're jumping ship. They're like, I can't go along with this anymore. Calling good evil and evil good, and they're jumping ship. Okay, so something is happening. Well, guess what? When they jump to the other side, this side is bonding tightly too. Okay, there's something happening in our country. Okay, there's a separation. Even nations are starting to separate and to unify. Okay, I saw a map the other day. It was pretty in the Middle East stuff about the unification that's happening over there because they're being segregated by other countries, including our own, separated and kind of put off. And so they're just unifying to create a stronger force. Okay. Elijah, just for your benefit, I'm going to skip the next scripture. But we also are going to see a realignment of churches. Okay, the mega churches that we know them as, okay, they're going to start waning in popularity over the next decade because people, believe it or not, are starting to look for a deeper, more intimate connection with people. You know, you've heard it said, oh, with all the social media, that we are more connected than ever, but we're more lonely than ever, right? You've heard that? That is changing this decade because young people are starting to see, I can't live without somebody else. I'm hurting inside. Life is empty. I don't seem to have any purpose or point. I need people. Okay, and that connection, that desire for that connection is going to begin growing more and more as this decade goes on so that pendulum will begin to swing back to where it used to be that, you know, you might not even see your friends for months, but you connect with them all the time on Facebook, right? Okay, well, it's going to get to that point where I saw a commercial the other day. Somebody texted somebody, and instead of texting back, they drove over to their house like 2 hours to say, not much, what's going on with you? You know? I see that happening. That's a reality of people that they're tired of just texting back. You know what? I like being around that person. They make me feel good to be around them, and they make me feel special, and they like me for who I am. And people are going to begin to see that. And the whole unliking people on Facebook or unfriending and, you know, all this social media stuff that's happening is going to start to get, it's not where life is really at. Okay? People can look past some of your quirks in person. You might put something out there on Facebook or whatever, and they're like, I'm unliking them. I'm not going to follow them anymore. Okay, in that one moment, they made a decision. Okay, but when you're face-to-face, you're like, oh, man, that ain't right. You can say that to their face, and you're like, well, yeah, I was just kind of kidding. Okay, and that conversation can happen in face-to-face, person-to-person stuff. Okay, the smaller Jesus-centered, family-focused churches that actually help hold communities together, okay, wait till there's a massive thing happening in your community, floods or earthquakes or things like that. What they have found is that it's those small bodies that join together and they hold that group together. And they come together for one another so much more than the people that they did a small group with 2 years ago, but they've never seen them again in church, or you know what I mean? There's just so many people. Anyway, it's going to start changing to more the smaller churches that are Jesus-centered, family-focused, holding communities together are going to be the ones that survive and thrive. Okay, in this decade, we're going to see the Christian churches sort of realign in that polarization. Okay, you're going to see the liberal, anything goes kind of stuff on one side, and then the conservative Bible-based churches on the other, and that division is going to become more apparent. Remember, we're talking about clarity, being able to see what's really happening, and that division is going to be more apparent. Those Bible-based kind of first century type churches are going to unify and they're going to be strong spiritual forces in their community. Okay? People will see them as the go-to. The ones that stray from the Bible, that become weak, are going to become more of just social clubs. Okay, a feel-good place. We've already seen this sort of a conservative-liberal separation starting to take place just in the first few days of this year. Does anybody know, hear of a church that just split in half? I don't know if it's going to be equal halves, but they just split into two groups. Okay, one is the pro-gay marriage gay minister on one side, and then the biblical conservatives on the other, and the Methodist church is now split into two. Okay, it's already happening. It's already happening. The Christian church at large is going to see a clear line drawn between those that allow the Holy Spirit and those who shut Him out. You won't be able to make it without the Holy Spirit, and that is going to become key. Those that allow God's power to flow are going to begin seeing more and more and more of God's miraculous intervention. Okay, see manifestations of His Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 4:20 comes to mind, that the kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power. And I believe we're going to see more of that in this year. One translation says that scripture like, the kingdom realm of God comes with power, not simply impressive words. Okay, there's got to be more to it than that. I believe we're not only going to see the Holy Spirit move more intensely outwardly in the churches across the country, but we're going to see more of His outpouring even here at the Oasis. I sense that. I see it coming. It's something that you're going to want to prepare your hearts to receive. Okay, to pray, ask God, talk to Him about this stuff. You've got fears or you got hang-ups, you got whatever it is. Bring Jesus into that moment, into that decision and say, Lord, what do you want from me? And He will lead you, I guarantee you, into more of His Holy Spirit to see that manifestation. He has your best interest in mind and your life will begin to line up perfectly with His will as you yield to Him and let Him do what He wants to do. He'll yield and manifest Himself through your life in ways that you never thought possible. Well, you know, Mark 9:23, Jesus said that, you know what? If thou canst believe, anything is possible. Okay, all things are possible to him that believes. Mark 9:23. Sorry, it's getting a little long. We started out this morning talking about vision, right? 2020 vision. Okay. It's going to be a year when the clarity and focus come together like it hasn't before. Okay, like no other time for you. You're going to be able to see things for what they truly are. You're going to call evil, evil. Okay? The church will. The world will call evil good and good evil. But the world will say that, but the church will begin to call good, good, and evil, evil. We're going to see it the way it is. That's what 2020 vision is about. You're going to see things the way they truly are. Even though the devil's going to continue to lie, he's the father of lies, he's going to keep doing it, right? But you're going to be able to see the truth and adhere to it. The devil's resistance is going to be diminished so that you can start thriving in your walk with God. You know, this morning, I want to pray for people. I want to pray for anyone that wants to have 2020 vision for their life. Okay, anyone that wants to be able to have supernatural clarity this year. Okay, if you'd like to be able to go deeper or see things about God that you haven't seen, if you have questions, what did God really mean by, and fill in the blank? Let this be the year that you get a revelation, that you get some understanding of those things. Okay, I'd like, if you would like to have 2020 for your vision, just, Warren, can you come up and help me this morning? I'll pray for you too if you want, but I just want you to help me. And Margie, can you come pray? You catch people if they fall, buddy.
Does that mean I don't have to get prayer later?
Yeah, we can pray for you too, buddy. If you'd like prayer, just come on up this morning and we'll pray over you and just let God, let that vision become clear to you. Because I see that. That's what God wants in your life, is for you to be able to see Him, to see good, to see evil, recognize the difference. Okay, and let God do that. So
don't even think about it. Just come up.
Amen. Don't talk to yourself about it. So we're here talking.